God is good. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to move this back just a little bit. Normally, I'll get in your faces a little bit here, but I just want to start out back here and just slowly ease into it. But God is good. Amen. God of the breakthroughs here tonight. Amen. That's it. I just keep hearing it. You know, when Sandy and the worship team started, you know, moving in a prophetic anointing there, is this, you're the God of the breakthrough. You're the God of the breakthrough. God of the breakthrough. And, you know, this is the year I just really believe in my life. I can sense I've been fighting and scratching for the last 4 years. Okay. I'm just getting pounded on. Okay. But there's a spirit of breakthrough. Amen. And a lot of times when God wants to move through what's happening in my life into your guys' life too, amen? Praise God. It has to come through somewhere, amen? And you've been faithful. The Lord would say you've been faithful and persistent in believing, even though you have not seen as much as you have seen in the Spirit happen. But the Lord said, do not give up, but it will come to pass, amen? God is on your side, and God is watching over the vision and wants the vision to be fulfilled more than you guys do. Amen? It is God's vision. It is not your vision, but it is God's vision that He's given to you to steward over. Amen? So, take heart, be of good courage. Amen? And start to believe. See, you cannot receive anything unless you first believe it. Amen? And many times, we never get to a place of really believing. We get excited when we hear these things this is going to happen, but we have to allow it to be planted and take deep root in us. And a lot of times it takes time for that root to develop. Amen? And the greater the vision, the greater the root you're going to have. The greater the vision, the greater the fire you're going to come up underneath, because you need to have that character. And you cannot, when the gates and the doors start open, you don't have time to run back and get character. You better be walking through those doors carrying the character of God. Amen? Amen? So God, in His mercy, is slowing things down at times in your life in order for the character of God to catch up in your life. Amen? Because it takes time to allow God to tear out some chapters in our life and rewrite. You know? And I don't care how long you've been in ministry, how long you've been a Christian, there are some chapters along the way that need to be rewritten. Amen? A lot of those chapters have been written underneath an immature mindset. Right? And so the Lord wants to take that immature, you know, we all go, that's part of the process, okay? There's nothing wrong with being immature. Immature, you have to be immature first before you can be mature. And so there has to be a pulling away of those chapters of immaturity so He can give you a new perspective. Amen? Perspective. What I wish I could call back from my dad or my talks with my dad, it's not that I would need his wisdom, because he had already sown in all of his wisdom into me in my younger years. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. But I need his perspective. I need my dad's perspective of a 70-year-old or of an 80-year-old. Amen? Because it's something I don't have. But we need to come to a place the same way. We need to come to Father God and get His perspective, the way He looks at it. Because when we begin to see it the way He sees it, then we're able to be able to position ourselves to release, position ourselves to be able to believe that He can do these things. And as He's releasing and doing these things in our life, that we don't have to sweat it. That we just flow in the river. And we're not sitting there trying to grab onto every rut. We just flow in total trust. Amen? God is looking to develop that trust. Faith worketh through love. Of course, we know there's a two parts there. It's, of course, us walking in love, but it's also the more we know the love of the Father, the more faith we'll have. Amen? God had to reveal Himself. There's many names that He revealed Himself to the people of Israel. He's still in the process of revealing Himself. Of those names to you. See, you can study them, but unless you've experienced them firsthand. You know of that name, but you don't know what's in the name or what that name contains. Amen? And so as we yield ourselves to God's way, we yield ourselves to patience, because see, patience, if you don't develop patience, your faith is no good. Amen? Patience is what, delay is what creates patience, and patience is what creates perfect faith. It leaves you lacking for nothing. Amen? And we cry out, that's very exciting. Man, I want to be lacking, I don't want to be lacking in anything. But there's a process to that. Amen? There's a process. See, I can sit down with my 28-year-old kid. I have to talk to him in that era of a 28-year-old kid. I have to go back and start to see things the way I used to see things. And then I got to slowly take him from, meet him where he's at, and I got to slowly bring him to how he's going to be thinking when he's 30. And then, son, you're going to be thinking this way when you're 35. And then when you get 40, you're going to be thinking this way. And then when you get 50, you're going to be thinking this way. Amen? And so we got to allow that process. We got to allow that journey. And God can supernaturally put that perspective in you if you allow Him to. But there comes a time is that you cannot hang on to your perspective and then also hang on to God's. It's a total yielding. Amen? It's just like, oh, God, here I am. Do whatever you want to do. There's many times I say, God, do you know what you're doing? I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. Do you know that if I mess up here, it'll mess up 15 years of my, you know, my steadfastness? And he goes, yeah, but you're not going to. Amen, because I'm going to empower you to overcome. But you still have to walk that path of overcoming in those areas, in those temptations. Right? The temptations are going to get greater. Amen? Because Satan is, right? Satan is starting to unleash some things that we haven't seen before. There have been some things that I thought that I had, how would I say, had died to, that I found got resurrected in that 4 years. I'm like, uh-oh. But there came a greater dying to it. There came a different place that if I never get loved again, or I never experience love, I'm still going to do the right thing. If this doesn't happen, I'm still going to do the right thing. If this doesn't happen, I don't get treated the right way, I'm still going to do the right thing. If it doesn't happen here, I'm still going to do the right thing, because it's the right thing to do. It's the only thing I can do, because it's the character of God that's living within me. I can only do what's right. Amen? Even if it kills you, you still got to do what's right. Even if it isn't fair, you still have to do what's right. That's the character of God. That's the glory of God. That's what Moses was crying out for. Moses wasn't crying, well, God, show me your glory. He wasn't crying out for the signs and wonders. He's seen all those. He said, I want to know your character. And the Lord said, okay. Now, we've been crying out for the glory, but we want the glory of the signs and wonders without going through the tests of the character. You get the test of the character, and you develop the character of God, then you just manifest what's in that character, and you don't have to worry about the signs and wonders, they just manifest. Amen? We're after the byproduct rather than the product. Amen? And you know, when we're a little bit backwards like that, it's kind of a little bit idolatry. We're looking to worship or chase after that thing that's created by the character of God, rather than going after the character of God. See, the glory of God is a twofold thing. It's the character of God, God's way of doing things, God's the walking in love. You know, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self control. Against these, there is no law. Okay, right? That's part of God's glory. That's the character of God's glory, is walking in love. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of God's glory. And then we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the other part of the glory. Amen? But the charismatic movement, which my parents came into, you know, they're Baptist people, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and, you know, didn't look back after that, but they would say, okay, we got to hurry up and find out these people's giftings and get them gifted. Let's forget about the character of God. Right? And let's just get them in. And we get them operating in their giftings, well, then we can keep their butts in church. Right? Get them a ministry. Tell them they got a ministry. Tell them they belong. Right? Do anything you can to build that church the quickest way, because then you'll look successful. But you know, God doesn't look at success that way. There's nothing wrong with having a big church. There's nothing wrong with having a smaller church. There's nothing wrong with having a medium church, unless the only thing that matters is that God's called you for. Amen? I found that in those smaller meetings, the glory of God and just the presence of God shows up so powerfully. And I'm just like, oh my, I go driving home, I'm like, man, I wish more people were there. It's so awesome. You know? And then you get to a bigger meeting and it's just the dynamics are all messed up. You got people in all these different areas. And it just cross threats. Right? We got to come to a place of dying to what worked in the past. There's things that worked in the past. See, God's principles, I didn't come up with it. God's principles, I think it was Oral Roberts, God's principles don't change, but the way he applies it, the principles, changes. Amen? Things are seasonal. Even in your marriage, things are seasonal, but we try to do the things that worked, and we continue to try to do the things that we've been doing for the last 15 years. Time for a change-up, guys. Amen? She's smiling like, yeah. You missed that. That's a typical guy. The guy's just like, yeah, oh, that sounds good. And the woman's going, yeah, I've been praying about that. No. I can just see the lights going on in her eyes, and he's just like, yeah, that makes sense. But you know what I'm saying? But we're trying to do, use the same formulas without seeking God. See, we want to step 1, 2, 3, 4, and then just show me how to do it, and I'll do it. Instead of going to God and seeking Him out and saying, God, how do you want me to do this? What do you want done here, Lord? I'm not here to please the people. I'm here to please you. What will please you? Amen? My church at one time was really full, okay? It really was. And because I was building the church. You know, I was building it. You get it? I was building the church. I was running to people's houses every night just about. I was going door to door. I was doing all the things a good pastor's supposed to be doing to build a church. And then the Lord said, I want you to stop that. Guess what? When I stopped it, guess how many people stopped coming? All of them. How do you like that? And then I started relying on God to build the church. It wasn't as full now as it was, but the people there are hungry. He's brought in people that are hungry. He's doing it His way. And you know what? And even if those people, that church never gets big, doesn't matter. I'm growing. Amen? If you're a pastor and you think that you've arrived and you don't grow no more, you're in trouble. And I'm rebuking you here right now. Lord rebukes you. You're there to grow. You're not there to go and get a sermon. You're there to go and grow with the Lord in character and in faith. And then let the overflow go to your people. Amen? Is that something? I've done it. Everything I preach, I'm not done. You know, hey, but I've learned that it's more important for me to please God than it is man. He brought me to, remember when Saul, all the people, he was had battle, and then Samuel was late. He was right on time, but he was late according to Saul. And Saul went and stepped and did things on his own to keep the people there because he was afraid of losing. And then Samuel said, don't you know that was God that gave you the, I'm just paraphrasing, God that gave you the favor? Isn't it God that put the anointing on you? It better be. The reason why people are in those seats is better because, it better be because those people are called to your ministry. Not because you manipulate them, not because you're a good orator, not because you have a gift of mercy, because those people were called by the Holy Spirit to be in your church. Otherwise, those people will cross-thread you. They'll cross-thread the people. Right? New people come. It's just like, I want to give them a list of churches to try out. You know? I want to go, here, go to those churches. And if they, you know what I'm saying? And if they come back, it's because God's called them back. I'm tired of wrestling with people I'm not supposed to be, I'm not anointed to wrestle with. I don't know about you guys, but that's not easy. It wears you out. And then the people that really need your anointing, you don't have it anymore because those other ones have stolen it. The devil sent the thief in to steal your anointing. Right? He said to guard, above all, guard your heart from those people. It's okay for a pastor to have access denied come up once in a while. Right? Access denied. When someone wants to access you, access denied. You don't have the passcode. The Holy Spirit isn't given the passcode. Seriously, it's okay. We're taught a good pastor is supposed to be all things to everyone. That's not true. I mean, come on. I can't be that. God's the only one that can do that. There's certain people I can't work with. I know who they are. And if I can identify, and I can usually identify pretty quickly. And it's just like, you know, if you're looking to be used to, you might as well go to another church. You say, it isn't going to work because I have a personality. I love that person, but I have to have people that are on board, that are not going to hinder my anointing or my gifting, but they're going to enhance it. Isn't that what people that are in side-to-side ministry with you, they're supposed to enhance you, not hinder you? Why is it okay to be able to say no and not hire someone in the business world and not say no, not hire someone in the spiritual world? Just because you have a gift, I don't see anywhere in there, just because you have a gift, I have to use you. Show me. Show me in the Word, you know? But we have this attitude. Well, I got a gift of worship, or I got a gift of prophecy. You got to use me. I'm going, no, I don't. You have a spirit of pride. Right? It's a sense of entitlement. They use that verse, a gift will make room for you. That's a money. No, that's money. So you bring me money, I might think about it. I'm just teasing. But, you know, you'd at least stand a better chance, you know. I'll take your money, I'll go pray. I'm just teasing, you know. Right, but isn't that some of the attitudes? See, it's one thing for sure. I believe a strong grace message, but there's one thing is that you cannot follow Jesus and follow sin at the same time. Right, they're not going the same way, are they? They'll divide, you know. Who put you in ministry? Was it God? Or do you have to perform? You know that performance? I used to just sense that there'd just be this performance thing. And I just felt I would be nervous when I'd step in. And I felt like, geez, I got to perform. And no, it better be God performing. Amen? It better be me yielding to the Lord and letting Him say what He wants to say. Right? I stepped in. Normally this doesn't happen. I stepped in here tonight, and I sense intimidation, you know, and I go, okay, we're gonna come against some of these things. You know, it was just some of those things that are in your lives that are intimidating. Or, you know what I'm saying? There was this thing that was staring at me to try to make me feel like I had to perform. No, I don't have to perform. All I got to do is yield. Amen. Isn't that all God tells you to do is yield? Obey and yield, not perform. You're not a performer. Right? Amen? Many of us, we look at a pastor, if he meets our conditions, then we'll grace him with our presence. That's what they feel. If we think you're okay, and that you're a man of God, and you, how dare someone try to judge a servant of God? How dare them? Right? How, they don't know the stripes that you've gone through. They don't know the pain. They don't know the nights that you stayed up all night long interceding for them. The same people that are beating the crap out of you. Talking behind your back. If they only knew. They don't. And that's why they're so quickly will put their mouth on a servant of God. But it says to judge him with double honor. Right? Treat him with double honor. There's people that have attitudes that will, they believe that the sheep is in charge of the shepherd. Pastor has to do what I tell him to do. Otherwise, he's abusing me. Or he doesn't hear from God. You know, have you heard? He just, if he really heard from God, he would have been here. He would have given me a call. Maybe you should have been calling Jesus. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but you know what? He does. I don't know. I'll just let it go. Woo! Yeah! Amen! Shouldn't the Lord have freedom to be able to rebuke you? Well, I'd know, you know, how people say, well, if he came and rebuked me, that'd be fine, but I'm not going to take it from you, Pastor. You know, it's just them and God, you know? You're just there. I don't know why you're there, but you're just there. See, you know the attitudes? If you've been in any type of church before you got to this one, I know I'm not talking to anybody here, but if you've been to religious churches, they have an attitude, and it stinks. It's not the love of God. It's the funniest thing. I've heard, I didn't come up with this, but I heard it, and so I'll repeat it, is that the pastor is married to the body, but the body only dates. Pastor. You know how frustrating that is? You got two sets of rules. You can't leave them, but they can leave you anytime. That's not fun, is it? And then, they're supposed to be able to come up to you and rebuke you any old way they want to, and you're supposed to take it. And if you do rebuke them for being out of order, well, then the pastor has an attitude. Right? We're supposed to be these mealy-mouthed, wimpy pastors. And you know what? I'm not that way, and you're not going to make me that way. God has called the shepherd to go on out there and fight the wolves. And if he's a wimp, he's going to say, no, you go first. I'll pray for you. Right? We don't understand what a we've had this mindset of what a pastor is supposed to be, and it's wrong. Wear these starchy collars and thus saith the Lord, and you know, the perpendicular, and just the era of wussiness. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what else to call it. Just sissiness. Oh, pastor, will you pray? Oh, bless God. You know, they have an era of walking. I'm like, knock it off. You're a warrior. Jesus didn't go to the cross. Oh, praise God. Do you think that's the way Jesus defeated Satan? So if Jesus is living in you and moving through you, don't you think you're going to be a little bit like the Lion of Judah? Yeah. Roaring when the enemy comes in? How many of you want a weak leader? Remember that when your leader shows himself strong to you. It's really nice to say, like a gal, like a wife will say, I really want a husband that's a spiritual leader and takes charge until they disagree with them. Oh. Amen. It's true. Don't, no, it's true. Amen. Amen. He hears from God. Amen. See the Lion of Judah's coming out of him a little bit, huh? This is truth. We can't talk about it because it's not politically correct. We're afraid to be called a chauvinist pig. I'm like, okay, whatever. Our culture has developed a mindset on what a man's supposed to be. And it's scary. So when these kids do meet someone that does walk in authority and does walk like a man, they will run from it because they don't know that's what it's supposed to look like. You have, and this is the way it is. I'm not blaming this, but this is the way it is that most of the men nowadays have been raised by their mommies. And it's so easy because to be a good, because you watch how hard your mom works and how that jerk of a dad left and whatever, and then you develop this mindset of honoring, and you should honor your mom, but you learn to submit. But then what happens is you find it so easy to submit to your mom, you get married and you just automatically start submitting to your wife. Well, it isn't that way for us. It's that way with a lot of people. I've counseled a lot of marriages. You can't tell me any different, okay? I've done a lot. Seen a lot. Right? But you're an abuser if you take a leadership role in your home. You're an abuser. You're insensitive. You know, and some men are insensitive. I mean, that's something we got to learn. Okay? I've had to develop sensitivity to my wife, and I needed to. Amen? I needed to. I don't have to feel guilty about saying no. Can I tell you what happens in most marriages, is I see the man wanting to do what's right, he says no, and the wife puts up such a fit, it makes him feel so guilty that he feels terrible for walking in his authority. I'm real popular. Women are amening me like crazy out there, you guys. But if you're getting irritated with me, it's the culture, it's your mindset that's getting irritated with me. I'm a good guy. Amen. Jesus loves me. Amen. I'm speaking the truth. Amen? There's things that I hear that don't agree with at first. It doesn't mean it's not right. Just because I get irritated or offended at a preacher doesn't mean he was wrong and I'm right. It meant that evidently there's a problem there. Maybe you should take a look at it. Instead of saying, oh, he's just a pig and walk away. No. Take a look at it. I don't like doing it. I mean, I just like to be preaching on God's love, you know? But this is part of the yielding. This is part of the suffering that I got to go through. Looking at all the sour faces. I didn't come here. I didn't sign up for this tonight. This is Saturday night. I could be up home watching the Timberwolves or whatever, you know? I could have gone to a movie with my friend. This guy isn't anointed at all, you know? More than you know. More than you know. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing some smiles out there. So you know what happens when you start seeing some of that? I'm just seeing some things in the spirit. I'm like, oh boy. Praise God. You know, the first sermon I ever preached was on a submission. Can you believe that? In a really rebellious church. It was a church that had blood all over the walls. They were known for sacrificing pastors. And I was just stupid enough. That was my first sermon. And I mean, I saw that revelation, how Saul tried to kill David 21 times. And how it was just, and I said, Pastor, I feel like I got to preach this. And he went to the elders and to deacons. And fear and trembling, they gave me the microphone. And I mean, man, I preached it, but I didn't know. See, God had to get a hold of someone that didn't know what they were doing, that were just obedient, just stupid enough to obey God. Right? You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, right? This is not popular stuff. This goes against what the world does, but this doesn't go against what the Bible says. Amen? I'm like, man. Even, can I tell you what? Even, and I'm a word person, but even the word people, I see them starting to slide in certain areas in these subjects. And I'm like, okay, where are you going to compromise next? Where are you going to compromise next? Well, Jesus didn't mean it that way. Well, Jesus, it was just too radical to have that type of belief back then. Jesus was as radical as he could get. He set a pattern, and we are breaking the pattern that he has set up. Just because it doesn't fit into the culture. And we can't reach those people. Well, maybe we need to pray enough till those people get so sick of the world, they get so sick of living in that stuff, that they will come and they'll be ready to hear the truth. Sometimes you've got to get sick enough and tired enough and beat up enough for you to listen. But we're trying to coerce and trying to ease people into the truth. Jesus never did that. I'm sorry, but he never did, brother. Did he? No. He confronted it. And he did it in love. And he did it with mercy. But he still released it. You know, a lot of people think that, well, Jesus was just trying to tick off the Pharisees. No, he loved the Pharisees enough to confront them. He was confronting them in love, hoping that they would change. There was the complete kingdom that he was trying to get them to repent from and change their way of thinking. The Lord is trying to do it here too. He's trying to do it in the body of Christ for those that will listen. Amen? My heart just breaks at times when I hear these people that have given a high platform and they're starting to compromise the Word of God. And I'm like, do you know what you're doing? I don't get mad. I get grieved. You know, some people, you hear them, I just want to beat them up. No, I don't. You know? But I'm so grieved that, I mean, do you know what you're doing? See, God has called us to an uncompromising life of the Word. He says, take captive over every high and lofty thing that would try to set precedence over what He said in the Word. Our gospel is not supposed to fit into a culture. It's not supposed to agree with the world. If you're preaching the true gospel, the world will not agree with you. The world will be offended. And if they're not, guess what? You're not preaching the true gospel. Come on, right? Jesus even said that. Right? The gospel is not for faint-hearted. It is not for weak people. It's for people that are willing to lay down their lives. The ones that don't love their life. They don't love their friends. They don't, you know what I'm saying? But He said, Lord, whatever it takes. Isn't that a great song? Lord, whatever it takes. You know? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? What's it going to take in our lives? Is it of, Lord, please challenge my belief system? Right? Sometimes we've studied and gotten into the Word so heavy. Do we still allow God to challenge us? Amen? He's challenging me all the time. He's just like, God, just leave me alone. I already had this figured out. He goes, well, some of it you did, but I want to add a little bit to it, you know? I want to give you a different perspective. I want to show you a greater perspective. Because you're going to have to deal with things. You're going to have to deal with homosexuality in church. You're going to have to deal with a lot of things. Do you know that the church, mainline church, has said that the gospel is not for homosexuals or lesbians? But what about adulterers? What about liars? What about murderers? What about what about all that other stuff? He says if you're guilty of one law, you're guilty of the whole thing. What do we do with that? And then we get upset, we fight because these churches are starting their own churches because they're not welcome here. Because now you can go sleep with someone, that's fine, commit adultery, we'll forgive you, we might throw you out, but you know what? That other stuff, you're going to hell no matter what. What about sorcery? That's being a drug addict, okay? I used to practice it all the time, you know, as a kid. What about that? What happens if a person gets born again, a drug addict, heroin addict, or gets born again? Really gets born again, just really means it, you know? And they slide back in. That happened to me at college, Bible college, okay. I got back into drugs and drinking again, okay. So you'd get back into it. And a lot of people think if I died or they die in that state, I'm going to hell. No. I sin all the time. Even when I think I'm perfect, I still am not perfect. I'm only perfect when I stand in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And it is not my righteousness, but it is His righteousness. What about these people that were born with half man, half woman in them? Some women have men hormones and vice versa. The gospel isn't for them? Come on, think about it. Now, I'd be stoned at some pastor's meetings. Sin is sin. I'm not saying it's not sin, but I'm not saying that if I lied, it wasn't sin. I'm not saying if I didn't walk in, that is walk in love, that is still sin. But we have, in order to fight this, in order to get the victory, we have to be standing in the righteousness of God. Otherwise, we will never get the victory. Amen? I mean, we're so religious people are so stupid. It's just like they get saved and they get stupid. You forget your head. You don't challenge things. Where's that in the Word? I get done with Bible school and then about a year, almost maybe I've been 2 years, everything I learned. Where's that in the Word? Where's that in the Word? And I'm like, leave me alone. But you know what? I had to go in. Some of it was really good, and some of it, you know what? It was just men's traditions. It was opinion. And it wasn't the right one. It wasn't God's opinion. What are you going to do? You know, when those type of people... See, this church is called to the down and outs. This church is called to those people that need the gospel, that need the grace of God. But they won't. They don't want anything to do with you if there's any bit of condemnation. There's those religious attitudes, that stuffiness, the self-righteousness. You know that pompousness that a lot of religious people have? Well, you know what I'm saying? We can't be it. Well, we can, but in order, Jesus isn't that way. Right? And we know the wages of sin is still death, but it isn't God that's beating those people up because my judgment has been put on Jesus' back already. I am justified. And those people that are that might have been born again and got back into that stuff again, they're still justified in God's eyes. They just haven't been renewed to that justification. They just haven't gotten the victory yet. I used to think if I was driving, I'd have to be policing my mind all the time. If I was driving down the road and I had a bad thought and I got in a car accident and I didn't have time to ask forgiveness, isn't that crazy? That I would go to hell. And then I got challenged. And I go, I got to change. I had to repent. I had to change. Many of us, we have religious mindsets and don't even know it. Many times when you're, this is why a pastor has such a tremendous responsibility to preach the Word of God correctly and the correct gospel is because those new people are coming and trust you with their life. You are the one that's going to either put a correct mindset in them or an incorrect one. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. Because a lot of them go, well, old pastor so-and-so didn't do it that way. Well, maybe old pastor so-and-so wasn't right. You know, but it goes back to, that's their mindset. They believed everything he had to say with an open heart. Use that for the good of the gospel. Amen? Pour in that love. Pour in who they are in Christ Jesus. That's my job, and to preach who they are in Christ Jesus till they become perfect, complete in Christ. A completeness of Christ. It's just not the finished work of the cross when we are born again, the new creature. I'm talking about the renewing of the mind of who they are in Christ. Amen? What an exciting thing, though. What an exciting responsibility. But we got to be challenged first, and we got to continuously ask the Holy Spirit, man, Lord, you can rewrite a chapter here or there, you know? There was a lot. I had my whole book rewritten, you know? I mean, my whole life had to change. My whole thinking had to be changed. I wanted to be a sniper. I hated pastors. I wanted to be a sniper so I could bring justice. It was I really did. So I could kill bad people, and some of them were in the church. Because the people in the church, I grew up in a religious church, and they hurt me severely. And I went out saying, I hate pastors, I hate religion. If I smell religion, I still smell, I just like, Amen? But it's a healthy, I don't want to shoot anybody anymore, or beat them up. My wife would go, will you go talk to my husband? I'd meet him at the door. I already know the Word. I don't need you. Well, I did read the Word, but I didn't know the Word. I was ignorant. But I was hurt. I was wounded. My Sunday school teacher, the thing that when I get around, well, I haven't been around her for a while, but the last time I saw her, the only thing, you know what she remembered about me? Is when she was wrestling with me, I broke her watch. How do you like that? I don't remember breaking her watch, but evidently I did. I got in fights in Sunday school. I couldn't help it. I was sticking up for my friend. Oh, you know, but it's that religion. You know what? At North Central, they had a hockey team, North Central Bible College. This guy broke a stick over his arm, and that sucker puffed up like that. I got mad, lost my temper, broke my stick over his jaw. You know, who got kicked out? Me. So anyway, but so nobody at North Central Bible College wanted anything to do with me, and I needed the hell loved out of me. You follow what I'm saying? I needed to be accepted. I needed to be loved. I just needed one of those older 22, 23-year-old guys to put the armor on me and just say, hey, why don't you hang out with me? But you know who was coming and wanting to hang out with me? It was all the people that were on the outside seeing the wildness in me and then gravitating to me. And guess who my peers were? All the ones that were backslidden. Just because of their religiousness. Anybody ever, religiousness hurts. Religion hurts people. The Lord is trying to call some of those people back, but He has to prepare a church that will not add to the wound, but they'll heal the wound. Ones that will be accepted. See, when you once trust somebody, and you feel accepted, then you can start to confront some things at times. And it's not a big deal because you know that that person loves you. Most of the time, the religious people, they just see you doing something wrong and they just come and say, you just got to knock that off. It isn't any prayer. It just irritates them. They cracked out of irritation. You know, some people parent that way too. Their kid irritates them. Sometimes people, they don't like a pastor because they don't like his personality. But that's no reason not to submit and honor that pastor just because you don't like his personality. That's just who he is. Ask God to reveal the good things in him. Right? You attract that which you respect and that which you honor. You attract it. If someone dishonors me, they're not around me very long. Because I know that I can do no good in their life. Right? I define either you're going to be teaching me or I'm going to be teaching you. I don't need buds to hang out with. I hang out with Jesus. Amen. But that's my person. I'm more, you know, just, I like to be productive. But I define. And if you're not going to listen to me, or you don't have anything to give me, we have no business hanging out because, right? What are they going to do for me? What am I going to do for them besides waste each other's time? It says to redeem the time, doesn't it? Not waste your time. There's Christians out there that you're not called to even meet. But yet we got to get out, we got to mingle. You know that kind? You ever have a dog that way? He gets out of the kennel, he just goes around all the neighborhood and checks out every dog's, you know? All over the place. Some place, but never in the right place. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. You just want to put that shock collar on him? Rover, come! I used to have this English pointer, Dee Dee. She'd bark and dance and this and that, but she was a bolter. And I put this shock collar on, and she'd throw it, she'd get on outside, and she'd just slowly, like she was just gonna, she was so smart, just that little stroll of hers. And she'd look back at you and then, shoo, you know? And I'd be sitting there on that shock collar, and you got here going, ee, 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 and she'd know she could run fast enough, she'd get out of the range. 5 hours later, she comes back with the cow bone, you know? I'm like, oh. I tell you stories about that. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? But many of us are the same way. We just, phew. Why did you make a phone call? I don't know. Why did you go over there? I don't know. I like to know why I'm doing something. You ever ask your kid, he does something just like, you're like, what was he thinking? You ask him, what were you thinking? I don't know. You know what? He wasn't. But, you know, many of us have never graduated to finding out or even figuring out why we do the things we do. And you probably won't be able to figure it out, but the Holy Spirit really does know. And if you'll spend some time with Him, start asking Him, why do I do that? Why do I react that way? Why do I react that way when Jim talks to me that way? Or you know what? You know how that goes. So we're all married, okay? You know, there's certain buttons, you know? Why do I react that way? And I vow I'm not going to do that, but then it happens again and bam! You know? We need to go to the Lord and just say, God, you know, I need some help here. You know, because I don't want to continuously do this. I want to graduate past this. See, the Holy Spirit does know. He knows you better than yourself. He knows what you need. Right? But we're too busy in our survival mode trying to meet our own needs instead of just going to the Lord and just saying, man, here I am. I'm needy. I know it. Here I am, God. Right? And this can be being too hard on your kid or too easy on your kid. Why are you that way? Why are you harder on one kid than the other one? Why does one kid irritate you more than the other one? You have two kids, you're going to have one that grinds you a little bit more than the other one sometimes. Right? Their personality doesn't match yours exactly or whatever, but you need to find out so you can give that kid conditional love and give him consistent, stable love. Do you just discipline like your dad does? Did? Or your mom did? Or do you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, how do you want me to discipline my boy? You know, sometimes my kid used to really, the Lord said, I want you to show mercy. He'd be in that room and he'd always tighten up his butt so he wouldn't feel the, and he was this way and I'm like, you know, and I said, well, Lord told me to show you some mercy. He looked on his face like, you know, but he needed that. My older kid, I only had to spank once. My youngest one, was different. But I knew he was very independent too. And no matter how hard I tried to have a relationship with him, there was always just a little something there because he didn't like authority. Okay? So there was a grinding. So I had to be very careful how I disciplined him because I knew I could spoil him against me. I could break his spirit. I could break our relationship. So I had to do it very carefully. There were some times he didn't deserve to get us, I mean, in my own eyes. The Lord said, nah, not right now. You follow what I'm saying? We need to be led by the Spirit of God. He's wanting to give you the direction that you need. He's wanting to lead you into the blessings that He has for you. But we're just so reactive. I had a guy come up to me, he's a good guy, but whatever sermon he listened to that day, well, that's the way he's blowing, you know? And it's just like, oh, no. And I told him, I said, if you're going to come spend time with me this morning, I got to preach tonight. We're not talking about religion. Because I knew he would listen to some, you know, religious person and dump it on me. And I'd be wrestling with it all day, you know? I said, I just want to be with God, okay? So we can talk about this, but we're not talking about religion today, you know? But many times, but he reacts to whatever he hears. Many of us, we react to whatever we see. Many times we shame our kids, or we shame people, because that's how we were disciplined. Right? Maybe a kid does something, a kid doesn't know what he's doing, you know? You know what I'm saying, you know? And a lot of times we'll jump and say, don't do that. That's dirty or that's wrong. Well, and that's all we say is you're dirty and what you did was wrong. And so they have a mindset. We don't give them wisdom. We don't show them, you know, we don't use that situation to teach him. Or maybe if you just leave it alone, he'll outgrow it. Or she, you know? God knows. God knows when you need to confront, when you don't need to confront. God knows when the fire will go on out, or when you got a pastor, you got to put the fire out. Many of those fires that are burning that we just think that we, if it escalates, it's going to really cause trouble, let it burn. Because you put out, you'll come back again after it dries out a little bit. Let it burn and let God deal with that. See, God will deal with your enemies or the enemies that are in that person that's trying to stir up trouble against you. He will. He says it. Amen? We just got to let Him. We just got to believe it, that He is going to avenge us. Lord, avenge me from my adversaries. We should be saying that all the time. It means not only stop the attack, but to bring recompense, bring a payback for it. Many of us, we get out of an attack. It's just like this 4 years. I get out of attack. I'm like, phew, am I glad that's over? Now, I'm going back after the damages that happened to my... I mean, there's so many damages that had happened to my family, to my reputation, to my money-wise, and so many things. I'm going back after it. So I got legal rights. There's many people here that you have legal rights to go back after what was stolen. You can do that for your daughter, too, right now. Amen? Because that which was stolen from you is now being stolen from your daughter, and you can stop that by calling a sevenfold blessing back into your life. Amen? He doesn't belong there. Amen? He does not belong. There's, you know, and I had a tendency to be a little bit legalistic, you know, and maybe sometimes a lot, but God has really broke me out of it. But I would sit there and I'd make a mistake, and I felt like I deserved to lose that money because I did something stupid, or I fell for the temptation, or I didn't think this thing through, or, you know, all the things that, you know, we made a mistake. And the Lord said, you know, I don't care whether you made the mistake or not. It was still yours. It's just like if your kid, you told him not to go take that road, and you give him his lunch money for the week, and the bully takes his lunch money away from him. Does he deserve that? Or if you see it, are you going to go back and get his money for him? Right? Because it was his. I don't care whether he made a mistake or not. That was still his. And there are so many things that were yours. I don't care whether you made a mistake or whatever, that God said, that's what my grace is there for, is to cover those things. Go back and get it. Oh, yeah. Amen? Physical-wise, emotional-wise, money-wise, friend-wise. There's people here that were supposed to be at this church, but they got jealous of Pastor Josh's anointing and his preaching gift, and they left. That's an attack. You need to say, that's enough of that crap. That's right. No more. That's right. 7 times. That's it. Bring it back 7 times to people that you've lost because of those stupid things, because of those attacks upon your anointing. Right? They were stolen. Yeah. Yes, they were. Through deception or whatever, it doesn't matter. They were still stolen. They were supposed to be there. They were stolen from you. Or get replaced. 7 times to help you do your ministry. Start believing that God is going to bring the right people into your ministry. You don't have to... He's not going to build. God is a master builder, okay? He expects you to be a master builder, and a master builder will not use crooked lumber. And you call in the straight lumber. It may be green, it may be wet, but you want it straight. You can blow on it. Amen. The fire of God that's upon your life can dry that out. Right? But you got to start out with the straight stuff. And you do deserve the straight stuff. And you got to have it to build correctly. Otherwise, it will show up. I built enough. It will show up. And when it does, it's like, oh gosh. Amen. But what do you expect? Do you just use what you got? No. Ask Him to bring in the straight stuff. You have the straight stuff around you, and then when the people come in, you have some people that will be able to help. You can only give people what you have. If people are incorrect and they don't have the character, that's all they're going to do. They're going to reproduce people just like them, and you don't want that. That's counterproductive. You've got to have people in there that will produce. Hopefully they're after the likeness of God, and they'll produce after themselves. They will pour in. They will mentor correctly. They will teach those people how to be in relationship with the pastor. They will show them the ropes. But you need to be asking. You need to be believing. You need to be standing and just saying, Lord, you've given me this vision. I need this stuff to build. He's not going to tell you to build and not give you nails or a hammer or this. But you have not because you asked not. And it's because you've been dealing with the stuff, the hand that's been dealt to you. Say, redeal. If there's nothing there, you can throw your hand in and say, redeal. Don't just play out the hand that was dealt to you if there's nothing in there that you can use. Right? Praise God. How long have I been preaching? Quite a while? Praise God. Maybe. Yeah. No, I'm sure you do. No. Oh, praise God. Start asking. Start believing. Really start believing that God wants to give you the correct stuff and then start asking Him for it. And don't settle. You don't have to settle. When you settle, it's compromise. Right? And I find now, if the correct people would have been brought to me right away, I probably might not have handled them as good as I'll handle them now. Because I really will appreciate them now. Right? So in that process of waiting for that, you know, you develop when it does come, you're like, oh, you know, I'm going to honor this. Amen. It's just like when you get a true friendship, you want to honor that friendship because they don't come very often. True friends. And you better identify it and you better honor it because they don't come very often. True ones. You better recognize whether you're just buds with someone because you think the same way or because God has divinely brought you together. And I'm not talking man and woman here, okay? You know how some, because that infatuation can, you know, make you, yeah, you know, feel like it's, yeah. But I'm talking about friendship relationships. You honor them. Right? Praise God. Well, you know, I could probably keep going, but I think I'm done. Is that okay? You know, I love you guys. I hope, you know. Well, whatever. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for the honor of being able to speak tonight or just being able to yield myself to you. And I pray, Father God, that you would immediately get involved right now with each and every person. I pray, Father God, that, Lord, you would bring people into a decision right now, Lord, that they're, you know, whatever you confronted them on tonight, Lord, that there would be a decision to follow you, a decision to yield. And I pray, Father God, that you would release the angels and the grace that they're going to need and the wisdom that they're going to need to change, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that you would strengthen each and every person here, Lord, that you would blow life into them. I pray, Father God, that there would be a new tenacity right now would be released to those people, that they would not put up with what the devil has done in their life, Lord, but they would stand up and just say, uh-uh, no way, no more. And I plead now, you have the precious blood, your precious blood over this church, over this vision, over the just every member here. And I pray again that you would release I'm just hearing a changing of the guard. So I pray, Father God, that you'd release a new set of angels, Lord, that will help bring this body to the next level. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.